That's so upsetting.
It's got a big nut in it, and I like nuts.
What's my favourite song, girls?
Oh, Barney.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to season 2 of Snapped. As usual, we're your hosts. I'm Pete.
And I'm Paul.
And once again, this is your weekly dissection of music's greatest hits, hidden gems, and cultural resets. Each week, we dive deep into a different album to try and convince you that they truly snapped. And this week, we are dipping into the girl group legacy of Little Mix for their iconic album, Glory Days.
Woo! Oh my god, my favorite trio of music.
Mothers, three mothers.
Oh, I'm so glad we finally get to talk about Little Mix on this podcast. This is the season of girl groups on the pod.
The girls. Yeah. The girls.
I was expecting that. Yes, so Glory Days is the fourth studio album by British girl group Little Mix, released on the 18th of November 2016 by Seiko Music and Columbia Records. Now, the girls are listening, know who Little Mix are.
Oh, yes.
We've got iconic Jade.
Leanne.
And Perry. Like, two Period. Mothers and then a third.
Anne.
And this, we've picked this because this is my favorite Little Mix album.
Oh, it's their magnum opus.
For sure. Like, this was the most electric. When it was released, it was met with acclaim from critics, with lyrics that address themes of sexuality, sexual relationships, female solitude, and other topics.
Wow, the power of women.
Yeah, I feel like they're more grown up. They're more getting their whole than ever before. Yeah.
Yeah, but this was like a breakup kind of like you've ditched the man. He was kind of holding you back and now you're more liberated, free. A lot of female empowerment on this album, which they've dabbled in on songs like Salute from their second album, titled Salute. But I feel like this is more nuanced, definitely more mature in sound. Little Mix worked with various producers, including icon M&EK.
He really kind of gave me the father that I've always longed for.
Yeah. Wow.
Fredo, Matt Rad, all of whom have worked with them in their previous work. The band officially revealed the name of the album on their Twitter account on October 13, 2016, before releasing the track list on their Twitter account 10 days later. Now, I have seen an interview with the girls and they were saying, like, why was it called Glory Days? Because obviously there's no song called Glory Days on Glory Days. But they were saying, like, when they were recording it, they knew this was going to be their Glory Days. Making this music, turning this music was going to be the best days of their life. And even back in 2021, the girls were saying, yeah, this was the most fun we had.
Okay, Glory Days was the happiest, most amazing time of my life. I'm just throwing it out there. It was so much fun.
They say, like, in comparison to the rest of their albums, this is the one they recorded the least amount of songs for because they knew every song was going to be on it.
They knew they had bangers and bops.
Bangers, bops, down and dirty, like, a lot of alliteration.
Yes, like, they knew that this was going to be their work they were remembered for, so they were, like, fully living it up in this era.
A platinum edition of the Glory Days album was then released on November 24th of 2017, a whole year later, that included remixes of the singles with Men featured.
No!
We lost. Men stories
don't matter. They don't matter.
They don't matter. Keep Men away from our girls.
These people should shut the fuck up, back the fuck off, and let this woman just shine her light.
Like, the original version of this album already had a man on it. That should have been cut.
Well,
Charlie Puth.
But Men do start a conversation.
Yes.
Zayn Malik, we're talking about you. Let's just get straight into the singles. Single number one, You Know It, You Love It. Shout Out to My Ex.
Oh.
Now, do you think it's a breakup song?
I think it's about like when you're like shouting out, but it's like specifically about like ex.
D to the E to the T to the O. The hold up. X. So it was co-written by all of the girls with lyrics referencing the downfall of a relationship with the expense of a cheating ex. Little Mix announced the song's title and revealed the artwork on October 9th, 2016 on Twitter and Instagram, also announcing that the song would perform for the first time on the X Factor UK. Now, name a bigger stage.
Oh my god, okay, set the scene.
Well, 2016 is probably in its flop era, but...
No, it was... Who won that year? Matt Terry.
Oh, we lost another man.
Okay, it was a flop season.
Who else was in that season?
Let me see. Sarah Alto, Queen of Eurovision.
Oh my god.
That's a boot. Five After Midnight came third. Is that not like one of Taylor's variants of Midnights? Emily Middlemass. The generator, like the simulator, was spitting these girls out.
Anyone of note?
Honey G.
Oh, well.
I couldn't tell you who Sam Lavery is. I do not know any of these people. I'm so sorry. Regardless of all of that, I remember I was out bowling.
Oh?
At the time of this performance.
Oh no, a conflicting event.
A conflicting event. My birthday. Birthday bowling. So yes, it was on my birthday. We're bowling. I probably got like every single gutter one ball. In the gutter. Yeah, in the gutter. But what wasn't was this song. This was a strike.
It is so powerful.
I think looking back at all of Little Mix's debut singles from their albums, we have Wings, Salute, Black Magic, and then this. They always sort of nail the first lead single. It always becomes the most popular song from the album. I think that's the most palatable kind of public song.
Yeah, I think this is definitely one of their most well-known songs. Like if you're like, name a Little Mix song.
Yeah.
People would name this one because it did have such, there was such alchemy in the air with everyone being so interested in Perry's dating life.
Yeah.
Then to go into this as your lead single, it's like hitting at the exact right time. They care about Perry as a person, then they care about her group, then they care about, oh, what are they saying about Zayn on the song, you know?
Right, yeah, exactly. And like, to anybody who doesn't know, after this single, Shout Out To My Ex, was released, speculation surfaced about the song's lyrics being inspired by the breakup of Perry Edwards and Zayn Malik from One Direction fame, whose relationship had ended in 2015.
So according to News AU, the verse from the original song, which we all know is... Yeah, yeah, that hurt me, I'll admit. Forget that, but I'm over it. But it used to sound like this. Heard he been fucking some model chick. Yeah, that shit hurt, I'll admit. But fuck that boy, I'm over it.
Like, and Miss Gigi.
They snatched the almond out of her mouth.
Yeah, and literally, like, they broke into Yolanda Hadid's bridge. Choked her.
Do you remember, like, Zayn broke in and, like, beat her up?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, he literally, like...
In the fridge.
Well, I don't know about that part, but like, he assaulted Lyme disease survivor Yolanda Hadid.
I like to have fun, but I don't play games.
Yolanda Foster. Sorry, I don't even know who she's married to anymore. But she got beat up. Yeah, do you think Yolanda heard Shout Out To My Ex and she said, not in this house, honey? And then was like, Zayn, get out. And then he beat her up.
I hope not, because I think Yolanda could probably take Zayn in a fight.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Maybe pre-Lyme disease, but... So, unfortunately, following the release of the song, Little Mix were accused of copying the song Ugly Heart, which had been released by the American girl group GRL in 2014. RIP that one girl. She didn't have an ugly heart.
She had a heart attack?
I will have to go on the record, go on the stand to say that Ugly Heart is bop.
Mm-hmm.
Does it sound similar? Maybe, but do I care? No, because, again, women's stories matter. They just matter. I don't know another GRL song, but Ugly Heart, bop. So on social media, some people have pointed out the similarities between the songs, and the accusations resulted in a hashtag shout out to Ugly Heart. Now, how many things do you think there are on that compared to the So Am I challenge?
Okay, so Am I challenge had 3 hashtags. So let me quickly go on Twitter and verify the number of these. Sorry, let's actually go on X.
Shout out to my ex.
Oh my God, Elon Musk was like, yeah, true girls, and then made it. Okay, there are a lot of tweets. Someone said, I liked Little Mix, but GRL are my love, so bye.
Who's going to tell her?
Not remember when GRL tweeted, shout out to my ugly heart on their dead member's account?
Did they? That's how you get the attraction, like.
We're not from the grave.
Oh. Someone wrote, no offense, but I've never heard of this ugly heart song, ? And shout out to my ex hit number one, so shout out to ugly heart.
Stop. The group denied the accusations during a radio interview in Belgium where band member Jade Thirlwall commented, how every song is going to have a similar chord and sequence with slightly similar lyrics and melodies, it happens all the time. She said, shut the fuck up.
What doesn't happen all the time, including to Ugly Heart by GRL, is debuting at number one on the UK singles chart, which is exactly what this song did.
With 95,000 combined sales to give the band their 4th UK number one of their career, following Cannonball, Wings, and Black Magic.
No.
Now Cannonball.
Cannonball was really good. Cannonball was really good. I'm sorry. Like, has anybody heard the original version of that song? No.
Shout Out To My Ex was also the first UK number one single of 2016 with a female lead.
Now it's fucking October. That's bad.
We've talked about it before, but 2014, 15, 16, 17 was man, Drake.
As of 2021, it is the group's best-selling single, as well as the second best-selling girl group single released in the UK ever, behind Wannabe by the Spice Girls. Now, like, accolade.
That's crazy.
That's insane. Like, better than any Girls Aloud single, better than any Sugar Babe single, any better than any Saturday single.
Oh, can we get that on record?
Not better sounding, but yeah, better charting, unfortunately.
In other countries, it also had a strong chart performance, including number ones in Ireland, woo, number four in Australia. However, unfortunately, the girls were only able to hit 69 in the US Billboard charts. America do not like Little Mix.
No, they don't think of them even. They're just like,
I don't get why.
I just think I just feel like they're more British. They are more like personable, not manufactured. They feel real. And there's just something about that in America doesn't slide.
Shout out to My Ex received positive reviews when released, with Billboard describing it as the ultimate girl power anthem. Rachel Sonas described the song as a kiss-off anthem at its finest and remarked that it felt like a confident comeback for the group. I don't really feel like it sounds like a kiss-off anthem. I think it's like, fuck you anthem.
Yeah, I don't know if it means like we're going to piss you off, but it's a girl, so it's kiss you off. I'm not sure. But what I am sure about is Miss Emily from Fuse said the song was a Taylor Swift-like move to play into the media's narrative and praise Perry's husky vocals.
Oh.
Now, I do love when Taylor inspires the girls, because she's the only person who ever talks about her exes, right?
Yeah, she's the only girl that's ever sang about a boy, ever.
True. Queen.
Speaking of things that don't talk about a boy, this music video only features a man for like 3 seconds.
Yeah, and initially I was like, that's so not what I expected. I felt like the whole video would be them like flipping him off, dancing around him, making him jealous. Yeah. And like, actually what happens is they end up passing him in the car when they're driving past. And you say it's like a like blink and you miss it kind of moment. But when we talked about it, you had a really good interpretation of it, which I love.
Yeah, I feel like it's more about how you shouldn't really make it about the man, where you would expect a whole breakup anthem music video to be, yeah, like you say, like then throwing his stuff out the window, very stupid psycho craziness. But I think it's more like, this is about your girls, your friends, your support system, and like moving past, like they're driving past him. They are coming from like a weird like caravan in the middle of nowhere, and they're all just like posing in front of it.
Yeah. Then they go to a pole and they pose in front of the pole. Like, I think every element of the video that isn't the part you're describing is a bit generic for me. Like,
yeah,
at the end, they're like in the desert and they're like, right, what can we do? What can we get the girls to stand beside? So they're like, okay, Perry, go stand in this like desolate underground labyrinth.
Yeah, they're like, you stand in a doorway, you stand with a cactus, you stand with a tumbleweed.
Yeah, Leanne's against an obelisk. I'm like, where are we in ancient Egypt?
But yeah, I think that is the only downfall of this single, is that that music video is so bleh. Like, there is one bit, which is the best bit, which is when Jade's holding a gun and she shoots it and it comes out over it.
Oh my god, yes, I love that part. And what I also love is this second single.
It's career defining.
Touch is a dance pop track with elements of tropical house.
I'm not kidding! That's the best song I ever heard! Oh my god!
During one of the episodes of Clara Amfo's The City podcast, Jade revealed that Touch was originally a folk song. Now, girls, what?
The only folk we respect is folklore.
No. TST. Preceding the release of Glory Days, Touch was released as the fourth promotional single on the 15th of November 2016. And then on the 5th of December of 2016, Little Mix announced the song would become their second single from the album and was later released on the 9th of December of the same year.
Girls love promotional singles. I'm like, why are you on four promotional singles before you have a second single?
But then why is one of the promotional singles an actual single later on?
Yeah, it's messy.
But they knew they had to do it. Like, the song is just so uplifting. Like, it is the Ariana Grande into you. Like, I'm in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I'm in the Kremlin. I can hear it playing and I'm like, move out of my way. I'm not washing my hands. Well, no, I'll wash my hands, but like.
Do you ever think about listeners who aren't from Belfast who, when you say you're in the Kremlin, are like, what?
If I was in the Kremlin and.
In Russia.
Putin was there, I'd be playing Touch. Like, and I think I would convert him. Like, he would be a bit LGBT after that. Like, it's such a good song. Like, I think if you put, like, it on, like, a massive microphone blasting into the world, like, the gay agenda would be realized. It's so good.
Right, it is there into you. Like, it's a call to arms to the dance floor.
It's just so inherently queer, despite not being queer at all.
Just a touch, like.
It's enough to get me off my feet all week.
Don't I know it?
On the 28th of February 2017, a remix featuring Kitty...
Who?
On the 28th of February 2017, a remix featuring Kid Ink was also made available.
Can they make it unavailable or?
But there is also an amazing acoustic version of the song on the album, which Pete does love.
I love it. Even though I don't really like acoustic versions, slow versions, I want the pop version, but there's something about the vocals on that acoustic version. I'm like, yes, girls.
Lewis Corner from Digital Spy also gave the song a positive review, describing it as more than ready for the dance floor with dance hall vibes, bouncy beats, and an infectious chorus that's enough to take over your whole body. In 2021, then, Touch was named by BuzzFeed as a gay anthem.
I love how BuzzFeed have to officially confirm.
Do you think they have a stamp for it?
Yeah, they're like, gay anthem.
What does the stamp look like, do you think?
Why are they like an anal, like an ass?
Is
like,
it?
Instead of a rosebud, it's like a rosary, like a, not a rosary, what do you call that? Rosette.
What's that?
You know, like a rosette.
Is that like the wax seal?
No, like, you know, like you would get, it's like a badge with two bits of string hanging down. A rosette.
Oh, it's like a, like a,
like a badge.
Like a, like a, like a, like a badge.
Yeah, but it's like the rosebud of an ass.
Right.
But it's a rosette.
Clearly you're from like a better, like, school than me. I've never heard of a rosette.
But you know what it is?
Yeah, no, I would just call it a badge.
A badge?
Just say badge.
No, that's not a badge.
A prize badge.
A prize badge.
How could you do this to me? Question mark.
Okay, well, some of us are from...
Some of us have read a book, and some of us were buying the Saturday's signed copies.
Okay, so, on a tangent, Attitude named the song number 2 on their list of 32 greatest Little Mix singles of all time. Touch is a club staple, as well as a genuine all-round crowd pleaser. Everything from Emenike's sublime production to the sensual verses, as well as the euphoric golden middle eight, makes listening to Touch a truly religious experience.
It is religious. I feel like this is their big change from being like the girls from X Factor.
This is the most pop song that they've done at this point for me. I feel like a lot of their other songs are a bit more, I don't know the genre that I'm thinking of, but it sing-songy is correct. It is very, let's all join in and sing this and clap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whereas Touch is giving choreography, as we'll see later. It's giving vocals. It's giving the girls each a different section. Like,
yeah.
I just think it is, it should be the song that everyone says when you say name a Little Mix song. Should be Touch.
I think LGBTs would say that, as they should. Before Touch was released as the second single from the album, it debuted at number 62 on the UK singles chart, and then re-entered the chart at number 23 following its official release, peaking at number 4 where it stayed for 3 weeks. That is good. That's impressive. It also became the group's 10th top 10 single in the UK. Elsewhere, Touch debuted within the top 5 in Scotland and Ireland and in top 20 in Australia. It charted in a further 10 other countries, including Canada and the Netherlands, but unfortunately did not chart at all in the US.
They really are allergic to taste.
I'm not going to say it, but if I was in America, I'd be buying a gun as well. Because people need to get shot for this. Like, who didn't buy this in America?
I know, and they're buying like Morgan Wade or whatever for...
Oh, not my dad.
Getting 500 added. Million weeks. Okay, so the music video is Labyrinth by Taylor Swift. Like, Mind Me is by Katy Perry. Like, The God Complex from Doctor Who. They're in a maze. I don't know what the... I don't know if the maze is their strife, their problems in life.
Yeah, to me, the maze is them in relationship with different men, because, like, each of the three girls are dancing with multiple different men, and they kind of seem trapped in the dance of, like, flirting.
Yeah, it's like you're walking into dead ends with men who are hot, and you're dancing with them, but then you're like, I haven't left the maze.
Yeah, and, like, the touch is what keeps them there. Like, it's obviously a very sexual song, so I feel like, that is, like, when they interact, they have such a good time, but they're never, like, committing.
Leanne is giving choreography down.
Boots.
Oh, she's taking it.
Even though there's ugly green chairs, you don't even notice.
Yeah, I pretend not to see because Leanne is serving in this video.
And we know Jade knows how to do choreography.
Mm-hmm. Whip that hair.
But unfortunately for Perry, she is wearing a garment.
The outfit. The outfit. I feel like... We've talked about this before. Little Mix's styling is questionable on every day of the week. But the day this was shot, confusion.
I would be like, I'm not wearing that.
Yeah. It's literally like a pink hoodie that's like knee length, quite a long one. And then this leathery, plasticky...
It's like a PVC nude corset.
Yeah.
on top of a hoodie. It's like,
you are a mother, but you are not mothering.
What?
It's a boot.
It is a boot for her, I'm sorry to say. But at least it got nominated for British Single of the Year and Breast? And Best British Video of the Year at the 2018 Brit Awards.
Didn't win, but still, I don't think it did win Best Video. Like, the CGI is shaky.
No, I haven't even talked about when they escape.
Yeah, so they leave the men behind. Mm-hmm. So they're out of the maze. They can see clear as day. But, oh no, suddenly the apocalypse arrives. Stranger Things, Vecna comes through. No, isn't it just genuinely Vecna has arrived? But they're like, in the upside down.
Why? Their whole storyline is they're trying to escape the maze. And then when they do escape the maze, they do choreography like on the lip of the exit.
Yeah, they take two steps.
Yeah.
They get in the ground, start grinding. Lightning, red sky. Demons come through, basically. Mm. Like, and one of the demons starts dancing with them. Jingle bell ball!
Maybe they were in hell.
And a fun fact, this is the last song that was performed by the whole group on the 6th of December 2020 on their TV show Little Mix The Search.
Bring it back.
Cancel it. It was horrible.
So for single number 3, they delved in deep and picked Paul's favourite song, No More Sad Songs.
Which I love a sad song as well. So like, I don't know, I kind of was not in the mood for them this year.
They were flipping the script.
I fucking love this song. Sorry for swearing. I love this song. This song is incredible.
So, No More Sad Songs is a post-breakup song about trying to forget your ex-lover and pretending everything is still all right. So, they go to a club to forget about it, are begging the DJ not to play any sad songs because it will remind them of their ex-lover. A remixed version of the song has been released featuring American rapper Machine Gun Kelly on the 3rd of March 2017. And we don't claim that version.
No, this, see when I'm like playing shuffle or whatever and then I hear the song start and then I hear him be like, no more, no. Close laptop.
No more listening.
Next song, crash the car, like anything to get it off.
Same with Kid Ink, get off touch.
At least that wasn't the official single though, like, I know. To be fair. Like this was the official version. But
it
seems
even more egregious to not make it the official version and still put it on the album.
Yeah.
Like, don't ruin my shuffling.
Very strange, very strange. This song is so good. Like, there's that part in the song where it's like, ba-dum-bum, ba-dum-bum. You know the bit. Maybe you don't know the bit actually after that. But I will insert the bit. Very similar to what I just did, if you ask me. But, oh, and I know, right? It sounds a little bit dated now. But I'm literally just starting my new job, 2016. I'm finally an adult. And I'm driving.
Oh. Flipping the car more.
True. I stabilized this time. So I'm driving to my work every day and I'm playing this album on repeat. And when this comes on, I am crashing the car. Like, this song just feels like winter, Christmas time, just because it was out then. And it is, oh my God, it's so good. So fun.
Maybe you contributed to the peak position of 25 in Ireland.
Maybe on streams, I guess. I definitely didn't buy it because, as I say, it was the Machine Gun Kelly remix. And I was like, I don't know this man. I don't claim this man.
The Bonnie Lasses in Scotland did get it to number 4, but UK singles 15. So, you know, like, good chart positions over here. Obviously, no chart positions over there, but...
Yeah, Attitude, though, named the song number 7 on their list of the 32 greatest Little Mix singles, writing it's an underrated song because of its chart position, but this mid-tempo... Sad Banger was an immediate highlight and obvious single from the moment that album was released. Now, before we flip over to the music video, I want to understand what you said when we saw Machine Gun Kelly.
That he is hot.
I feel so unwell.
It's unfortunate. But then I said to Paul, you have to watch the episode of Catfish where he is the co-host and he's so angry at the catfish. It's hot.
I'm going to look that one up.
Sucker, you are a sucker. You. Corny. You are corny.
Suddenly I'm a catfish.
Well, he's not. Well, I am not, because in this music video, first of all, the girls basically just walk into like a country western bar and they're just vibing.
Yes, they're like, I think they like the gag of like, oh, we've walked into the wrong venue. It's very like Crappy Lake episode 1. They're walking in, they're getting their t-shirt stapled to the ceiling or whatever the fuck happened.
Yeah.
Why are you getting involved?
Oh, well, I'll tell you why.
And then Machine Gun Kelly is just there, like a threat. Mm-hmm. And then he's wearing what I can only describe as Freddy Krueger's jumper covered in like yellow wax.
Yeah, he needs to stay in devil.
Oh.
Stay in the devil.
He needs to get out and keep this a woman only affair.
Literally.
The music video is very mid. Next, we can move on. It's not interesting.
But what is interesting is the final single.
Motorbike.
Who sings that verse?
Me. Jade. On Lil Mix's sassy feminist anthem, Power. The girls remind their men who is in charge and who has the power or dominance in their relationships and in the bedroom. Saucy. The song is a pure mix between Jade and Leanne's tones in the choruses and bridge, rapping, and Perry's raspy mule. The perfect combination for a pop rock and rap influenced hit. So the girls announced this song as a single on May 19th, 2017. Through the social media pages that Power would be released as the fourth single after being a fan favourite and teased a remix version for the track, which features guest vocals from British grime rapper Stormzy. Is that not Kylie Jenner's baby?
Rise and shine.
On May 26, 2017, the song was released on all major streaming platforms, while the cover art for the single was unveiled a few days prior and it was created by a fan. Now, Pete, I have put it here. Would you please describe this for everybody?
Who remembers Stardoll?
Me, literally me. It made me queer.
Yeah, it would be like, let's quickly dress, in inverted commas, Zac Efron.
Were you doing men? Oh. I was doing Ashley Tisdale.
Oh, see, I'm taking it off.
Okay, so you're putting clothes on to remove?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
But obviously I'm making a girl as well, but like, you know, you could do celebrity ones.
Yeah, you know, I'm only doing celebrity ones.
But people like to do their own ones.
No. No, but I don't. No, no, not like, no, people don't, but I don't.
Well, I feel like this was a screenshot from Stardoll or like a Movie Star Planet or something like that.
Yeah, it's essentially the four. Oh. Beep. It's essentially the three girls in front of a comic book strip background. It's horrible. It's really, really bad.
Why has Jade got like Hulk smash beside her?
I just feel like it's very like you won a Blue Peter challenge and you got to like do this.
It's really weird.
Like, yeah.
Why? I don't know.
But what isn't weird is the track. But actually it kind of is. but it was very well received, with Time Out magazine calling the song brilliant despite being over the top. But some fans did criticize the decision to feature a male rapper on a song about female empowerment. Now, I'm
some
fans. Yeah, I'm some fans. Because I want to say a few things. First of all, yeah, this song is about female empowerment. Really like pushing the envelope forward and being in control. I don't really need Stormzy then mansplaining feminism to me.
Yeah, and when we were watching this, Paul was like, well, who is this actually for? Like, what catchment group are we getting with adding Stormzy to this song? Like, no, like, lads are gonna be like, oh, let's listen to Power by Thingies versus or featuring Stormzy. I'm like, true, like, everyone who listens to this wants the non-Stormzy version.
The music video was released on the 9th of June 2017 and was filmed in LA. It features each member of Little Mix as the leader of their own faction of women. So Leanne leading a fashion-forward street crew, Perry leading a group of hippies who are a big part of the 1960s, 70s feminist movement, with Jade also leading a troupe of drag queens, the representation of LGBTQIA plus scenes, with like an accompanying motorcycle gang.
Yeah, there's a motorcycle gang that are there, but like...
Self-led.
Yeah, they're like empowered enough. They don't need anything.
A leader. What do you think about this music video?
I think the music video is really cute, really visually appealing. I like that it makes the girls stand by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of you get to see their own personality and like what they're into as a singular person. And then I love that they come together with their moms and they walk, I guess, in New York, is it? Yeah. Like, I just like this music video. I think about it. I think it's probably the most memorable. I think Touch is memorable, but not that because anything happens. I just think of those colored walls. But
yeah, this is the best one for me. I think it actually like marries up to the lyrics the best. I think it does take a little bit from each. Like, yeah, its lyrics are similar to the song, same as Shirt to My Ex. I think it is visually impactful, like Touch. And I think there's an unnecessary feature in it. Like,
yeah, in a barbershop.
No more sad songs.
I'm like, why is he in a barbershop?
Anyway, yeah, I think it's really good. I love this music video.
And when we were discussing these singles, I said that this is when Lil Mix became gay. Coded, yeah. And Paul thinks it's Touch. I think both answers are correct. I just remember this was really big because Jade did feature three girls from Drag Race in the music video, but as we know, Attitude put Touch at number two. So I think the gays were already on board. Maybe they were just nosy about the Zayn thing and then they stayed for the other features. But like, I just think this is where they skewed gay, and I think LM5 only builds on that.
Okay, you're racing too far ahead to LM5 because we still are on Glory Days and we do have some songs that we need to feature and some songs we need to get rid of as we play. Slept on or
chop off. So for Slept On, I picked D&D, Down and Dirty.
We gotta eat.
So Down and Dirty is about the girls being bosses, period. They're overly confident about themselves, stating their starting points and are giving tips on how to be a boss. So Digital Spy writer Lewis Corner said, with a title like Down and Dirty, is it any surprise this is a filthy electronic number for the club? In the best possible way, of course. It gets right down to business from the off with, I'm tasty, delicious, I'm rough around the edges. Same.
Did he say that?
Yeah, he said that. It builds with synths and pulsating beats throughout, before dropping into trap pop on the chorus, where we can only imagine the seductive routine the girls were dreaming up for this one. Oh, and there's probably a lyric the education secretary will raise an eyebrow at. Glad I didn't listen to my teachers.
Teachers teaching not to be a dreamer. Your mom's shaking?
My mom is turning off. But I just think Down and Dirty, I mean, if it's being described as electronic, synth, pulsating beats, I'm adding to the queue.
Yeah, like, I like this song. The beat is a little bit distracting for me, but I think it's the best thing about the song. But like, it's like, no, it's a bit of an earworm. I do really like the song too.
I just love it from the first beats. It's boppy, it's dirty. I like them being sexy, grungy girls, bosses, as some would say. So don't sleep on Down and Dirty.
Going from Down and Dirty to just dirty from that smell. We have our Chopped Off this week, and it is Oops, featuring Charlie Puth.
It was an oops.
It was a big, fat, smelly oops, and a song all about falling in love with an ex after a one-night stand. Now, sonically, the song bears a resemblance to Password of featured artist, co-worker, and queerbaiter Charlie Puth.
Okay, this filter is supposed to tell me if I'm headed for the top or if I'm going to hit rock bottom, and I'm going to go to the top.
Particularly his, it says here, hit single Marvin Gaye. Charlie Puth, for me, let's just say it here, he is queerbaiting and I'm hooked on the photos. He looks good.
Oh my
God. He's my Machine Gun Kelly, I think. This song is utter trash and the girls are well aware. Leanne on Attitude, now she said, let me get to the queer source on this. She said, the song we will probably never love is Oops. There are certain songs, you just have to be honest. They went one step further, though. For their Greatest Hits World Tour, they created this t-shirt. It has all their song titles on it. They are serving. Oops is missing in action. MIA.
I can't believe that's real. Like, they really said delete it. Like, strike it from the records.
Oops, my baby, you woke up in my bed.
Take it, girl.
You can see the disgust.
Yeah, Oops isn't my fave.
Yeah, and then even Perry said, Oops can get in the bin for me, no offense. The girls just did have a good experience recording this song, didn't enjoy working with Charlie Puth from what I can see. I think he's sort of made an advancement towards Jade. That's an allegation that maybe I'm making, but certainly something I saw before. So yeah, didn't seem like the girls had a good time with this song. I didn't have a good time listening to it. She's getting chopped.
It's a skip for sure. It's a chop. But what we're not going to chop off this podcast is a beautiful, sexy, amazing ad break.
Hey there, thank you so much for listening to Snapped Pod. Just one quick question for you though. Are you having visions of a fourth member of Little Mix? Stop. You are in the 1% of faulty memory wipe cases and you must report to Mixers in Black immediately. Don't worry, it doesn't hurt. It just takes one touch. We will allow you to listen to Boys one more time before we wipe it completely from your memory. And also please note that ticket holders of the Jingle Bell Ball are entitled to free PTSD consulting sessions. We are so sorry you had to watch that. Okay then, what was I saying? On with the rest of the show.
Hello to you all, and welcome back to the prestigious Snappy Awards. Now over to our hosts Pete and Paul for the first award, for the cringiest line.
For cringiest line, I gotta go with a song we haven't talked about yet, and it is Miss You Gotta Not.
You Gotta Not.
And it is the lyrics and the cadence of Is You Afraid of Blues Clues?
You Gotta Not.
Do you still use a Bluetooth?
You Gotta Not.
You love whitey tidies?
You Gotta Not.
What? Because they only show off your muffin top. Now, I feel a little bit targeted by the second half of that. But what? Who the fuck wrote that?
Use a Bluetooth.
Do you still use a Bluetooth?
You Gotta Not.
I'm sorry. I still use a Bluetooth now. My AirPods are connected via Bluetooth.
You are not a Bluetooth.
True.
It's very, like, cringe.
It's cringy AF. It's, like, very DNA album coded to me, mm-hmm. but even more remedial. It's just very basic. And, yeah, for whoever wrote this song, you gotta know.
And now for the second award of the night, the weirdest fact.
So, first and foremost, my weirdest fact is that you cannot stream or cannot find the original version of this album on Spotify. It's just the platinum version. Like, what is that about?
So weird.
What is that about? That's like missing media.
Oh, it is. It's lost.
I'm like, sometimes I just want to listen to the original one because there's a lot of tracks in the platinum one.
And a lot of men.
Yeah. But I digress. So my weirdest fact is, in October of 2021, Jade revealed in a radio interview that F You, the song, was supposed to be a single, and a music video was filmed involving Little Mix wrecking their boyfriend's belongings in slow motion, but was scrapped for unknown reasons.
More lost media. LM? Lost media, Little Mix.
F you. But I think it's supposed to be so weird to be like, okay, we filmed that, we budgeted that, we got dressed for that, did the choreo, and then they're just like, we're scrapping it. I don't know why. I don't know if they wanted to take a pause and do the deluxe with all the men and didn't want another single from the original.
I think that their record label just were not invested. Like, they kind of go against them and call a lot later in Not a Pop Song from Confetti, but they've also come out and said they didn't want to do all these singles with these men. Like, they wanted to do the single themselves, but they were told they weren't going to chart without the man, which is ironic because the two songs that didn't have a man on it charted better. But anyway,
exactly.
The awards just keep on coming. Now on to Best Live Performance.
Best Live Performance is definitely, for me, the Touch Live on the Honda Stage iHeartRadio performance. It is the acoustic version of Touch that Pete was referring to earlier. There's a flavor and a taste to it. Like, the girls are known for the choreography. This time they're sitting down, giving the vocals that we loved in X Factor as well.
Mm-hmm.
And just sort of showing off. Perry belts. Perry goes off in this song. So, so good.
Fingers on my buttons, now you're playing. Best of anticipation. Don't you keep it all to yourself.
What is she wearing? It's time for the ugliest merch award.
For ugliest merch, I have an ugly black t-shirt again with plain text, my favorite type of ugly merch, but this is in big white bold letters, Divas Queens We Don't Need No Man, and that's it.
That's not even from this album, that's from Salute, that's two albums ago.
I don't know why it is got no reference to Little Mix, no LM, no little picture of the girls. Like, the other merch is all very, like, Glory Days cover the girls. The girls. I just don't know why you would ever go up to your merch stand and be like, Mom, can I have that?
Not an exciting look for me.
No.
So I'm going to have to boot up.
Boop.
Now, alternative album title.
Okay, so for alternative album title, I really love F.U. We talked about this earlier as a song title. I feel like the concept of the album is F.U. to all these men. Every song is kind of a breakup song or about using men transactionally for sex and then kind of moving along. There's not really very many love songs in this album, so I think F.U. is really interesting. Clearly wouldn't really have worked because of their sort of younger fan base and stuff, but I low-key think it represents the album really well.
There's High Fashion on the Runway. What have we got for our final award? Best Look?
So for Best Look, I've got this almost like neon-inspired photo shoot of the girls and Perry standing there serving.
Cinched.
Skinny. Serving a fan. They're kind of like, again, in the end of days, but like, it's not too stressful. It's not red. Not Red Sky at Night, Shepherd's Delight. It's more like lilac.
Yeah, they're in their Lavender Haze era.
But like, I feel like there's an impending doom or something about it. There's like a cloud in the background. There's a scary figure.
Yeah, at the very front.
Uh-huh. With a beret. and a Gucci belt.
Now that is terrifying.
I don't know what the figure is holding. Oh, a martini. Well, anyway, back to someone who's holding something iconic. Leanne is holding a lemon.
She's getting ready for a Real Housewives moment.
And she's got her houndstooth skirt on. Love it. And Jade is serving in this like yellow pointy blazer with nothing underneath. And then like floral pattern. She's serving. She's giving drink. They're all just giving face. I think the color scheme of this photo is so beautiful.
Tip.
Well, that concludes another iconic Snappies. Join us next week for more awards. Now back to the studio.
Before we wrap up here in the studio, though, it is time to visit the Glory Days Tour, which was the fourth concert by Little Mix in support of their album, you guessed it, Glory Days. So the tour commenced on the 21st of May 2017 in Birkenhead, England. Wow. And ended on March 25th of 2018 in Kobe, Japan. Now, nearly a full year of touring this album, where Little Mix headlined Pop Spring. An estimated 810,000 tickets were sold worldwide and consisted of 70 shows across Oceania, Europe, and Asia.
Like, that's good for Little Mix.
Really good.
Like, that's impressive, considering that no one in America was even charting the singles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's so impressive. I think the girls did a really good job. They also opened for Ariana Grande in this era too. That's big as well, especially in this time. So I think the girls kind of, they did a really good job touring the world. I did not get to see this tour live. I went to see Little Mix in the DNA World Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And I was nearly put on a register because I was definitely the oldest person there.
Oh no.
Like, it was like everybody brought their P7s and I was there. So
predator.
Yeah. And I would have been 16, 17. I was like double the age of that room.
Oh no.
So I would never see Little Mix again for fear of being hunted down by like the nonce catchers. Like, I just couldn't be bothered.
You're rare. You're rare to stop me. Get me off the street. And I say congratulations.
Critics also gobbled up this album. The Guardian called the album chart pop perfection and went on to describe the message of the album is substantial as girl power once was. Allmusic stated that Glory Days finds the group delivering a set of hooky, smartly crafted songs that balance swaggering 60s style R&B with stylish electronic tinged dance pop. They also added that Little Mix's vocal grit and sassy group chemistry make Glory Days a celebratory album. And I couldn't agree more. I think you can see the love they have for each other throughout this whole album. I feel like they're enjoying their music. I feel like they're enjoying just like living in their heyday.
Their Glory Days.
Mm-hmm. So we'll just list off a few of these. So the album was ranked as the 7th best-selling album of 2016 and then the 4th best-selling album of 2017. So actually, the year after, it went up because the impact was higher.
Iconic. That just shows you that singles can push an album further.
Exactly. And then not only that, in 2018, it was the 30th best-selling album in the UK for the official charts. So 2 years after, you're still in the top 30.
That is actually really iconic.
Extremely iconic. Digital Spy also put it as number 12 in their best albums of 2016, as well as Celeb Mix, which doesn't even have a hyperlink, putting it at number 3 in the best pop albums.
Yeah, we couldn't verify our sources on that one, unfortunately. So if that is a plant, to be fair, Celeb Mix could be a Little Mix fan page. And with an impact like that, especially from Miss Celeb Mix, I think it's time we wheel out the Indisputable Impact Iconometer. Now, the Snappies, the girls will know that the Indisputable Impact Iconometer is our system of telling the gravity and scale of an impact an album and an era really has on pop culture. So I'm going to start inputting now, and the machine will reply with a percentage of overall impact.
Beep boop, Balak Day, beep, Zane, beep LGBTs, triple girls, my turn, shout out to Ugly Heart RIP, calculating. 87%.
Now, we got to talk about the commercial success as a big contributor to this grade.
It's insane. Like, these girls are pulling numbers.
Yeah, like, the lead single won British Single of the Year at the Brit Awards in 2017, like we said. Glory Days also showcased the best first week sales so far in their career, selling 100,000 copies in this first week. And it also had the highest first week UK sales for a girl group since Spice World in 1997. And it became the fastest selling number one album from a girl group since Survivor in 2001.
Like, these are legends.
Mm-hmm. It also set a new chart record for the most weeks spent inside the top 40 of UK albums chart for a girl group, with 89 weeks in the charts.
Girls can't do that anymore. Like, people chart once and then fall straight out of the charts.
Yeah, that sang par in this era for sure. And it also became the first album by a girl group to reach 2 billion streams on Spotify. And it also placed number 39th on the list of the best-selling album of the 2010s in the United Kingdom, despite being released more than halfway through the decade. It also had an extremely lucrative tour. It grossed over $42 million, becoming the group's highest grossing tour to date. And it put the girls on the map outside of X Factor / the twin girls that I saw at the DNA World Tour.
That you fiddled.
That is not correct. I think it was also called the Wings World. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
So on the negatives, I would say that it is quite a bloated track list on the Platinum Edition, mm-hmm. with multiple reissues, versions, the version with live songs, which leads to quite a muddled rollout to me now in the future in the streaming age where there's so many different versions except on Spotify. Adding Men, boo, to the singles kind of waters down the girls' impact, because we can't have a rollout that's just the girls singing. Like, why do we have to add a man? I think it's disrespectful to the girls. Forgettable music videos that are kind of generic and don't really stay in your mind, or isn't really like iconic moments from them. You're like, oh my God, that part is like gif-able or anything. And finally, I would say their lack of being able to crack America. Same with the Saturdays, same issue where you can't really have a global impact like that. But it's indisputable that the numbers they were pulling were placing them in a worthy spot in the most important and impactful girl bands of our generation. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Snap Season 2. As always, follow us along on our socials at SnapPod over on Instagram, where we post behind-the-scenes content and visuals for everything we talk about on the episode. And don't forget to subscribe to Snapped on your favorite podcast streaming service to get notified when new episodes drop.
I've been your host, Paul.
And I've been Pete.
And as always, keep those ears peeled for a quick sneak peek of next week's Season 2 finale album at the end of this episode. We're going to see you then.
Bye.